Amen, amen. A couple of real quick things before. We've been asked not to bring any food or drink into the sanctuary any longer, unless it's water or flavored water kind of stuff, just to maintain cleanliness. Also, for those that weren't here earlier, youth is starting up tonight. Going to have those who want to volunteer or 18 years or older to help us chaperones or just be adult presence there. We're going to have a real brief meeting right after the service in the front here just to go over a couple of quick things. Also, 4 weeks from now, our PAYS team returns. Yeah, hallelujah. Scott and Lexi will be back. And as of this week, we found out we will have two young ladies from Brazil joining them, Evelyn and Mariana. We spoke to them via Skype over the last couple of weeks. That we're so excited. They're so excited. They're on fire for the Lord. But this is where we need to step into faith. We need two host homes for them. So we are asking you to pray. If you are able to host, the commitment would be 3 months only, till the end of December. If you can't, please pray and see who you may know, who God may show you. But we need to find two host homes in the next 4 weeks for them. So please keep that in your prayer, because we're super excited at what God's doing right now with everything going on. But getting back to today, we started a series on overcoming fear, and last week we talked about the fear of rejecting. Today we want to talk about overcoming the fear of failure, because many of us struggle with this fear of failure that hinders us from even trying sometimes. Fear itself is crippling. Fear of failure is crippling in our effort to even do anything. 1 John 4:18 says, our theme verse, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear involves torment. And as we learn, God did not create us to be tormented, but overcomers. But he who he fears has not been made perfect in love. So we take encouragement that even if we fear right now, if we struggle with this fear of failure or last week's fear of rejection, that guess what? There's hope for us. It just says we have not been made perfect in love, which means there's time for God to perfect us in his love. So today may be the day for you. Fear itself stems from not knowing the outcome of something. If I go in a dark room, pitch black, what makes me afraid to go in there is because I don't know what's in there. What's going to jump out at me? What am I going to trip over? What am I going to bang into? So I'm afraid. I'm anxiously fearful. Fear is not knowing what will happen. It's the unknown. The essence of fear is I don't know what's going to happen to me that would potentially cause me physical, mental, or emotional harm. That's the source of fear, which is the exact opposite of faith and trust that says, I trust you, God, even though I don't know what's next. So fear itself is worry about harm caused to myself because I don't know what the potential outcome is. Faith says, God, I'm not worried about the outcome because my life is in your hands. See, in this the way we can overcome fear, like we talked about last week, is knowing who I am in Christ, my identity in Christ. Then there is no wondering about this unknown. Because if I know I am loved, I know the one who loves me is not going to put me in a harmful situation. If I know I am cared for and protected, the one who cares for me and protects me is not going to put me in a harmful situation. Because I know who I am and I know whose I am. Now, yes, there are situations where there's going to be lessons learned. And there is the growing pain of growth. But that's different. God is not going to intentionally hurt us or put us in a position where we will intentionally be hurt. Amen, Noah. Amen. So, I want to talk about two weird and interesting concepts. Readiness and willingness. And I want to, and we'll show you how this ties into this fear of failure we want to overcome. See, readiness is the measure, is defined as a measure of a person's ability to succeed in a given situation. It reflects and reveals how prepared and competent the person is before starting something. In other words, how equipped I am. I'm ready to do something because I've been taught how to do it. I've been given the tools to do it. I have the backup and support to do it. I have everything I need to succeed in doing what I need to do. If I want to fix plumbing in my home and I decide to get under the tutelage of a plumber, and I spent 2 weeks learning how to do plumbing. I bought the right equipment. I've got YouTube to back me up. YouTube training videos. If I forget something, if I have even a handbook on how to do plumbing, if I have everything I need, all the tools, the equipping of the body to achieve something, then I am ready. Now, willingness is the measure of the person's attitude and commitment towards the success. How is that different? It's the belief in the potential success. In other words, I have all the tools I need. I've been trained, so I have the highest chance to succeed in my readiness. But now willingness is my belief to actually be able to do it. Readiness is everything on the outside and really inside too, but having my ducks in a row that I can get the job done and do it well. Willingness has to do with my insecurity and or security. It's my confidence that, yeah, I can do this. Imagine a high diver with the Olympics right around the corner, trained all their life to jump on a diving board 30 feet in the air. They've got all the tools in the world to hit a perfect score, perfect dive. But when they're up on that platform, the thing that's going to get them to jump isn't the tools that they have, but their belief that using those tools will produce success. That's willingness. Now, in terms of failure and overcoming fear of failure, this is the heart of it for us. Because as we go through this, you will see we have in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God and in the sending out and the calling and the anointing and the hope and the sanctification and the consecration and the love and the comfort, and I can go on of God, we are being and have been equipped to succeed in the things God's called us to do as we step into them. Where we have up here, the challenge becomes the mind games that we start initiating doubt in the realm of willingness. And that's where fear sets in. Because fear isn't on what's out here. Fear is what's in here. See, if I'm trained hand-to-hand combat, and an assailant comes to me, I know I can take him down easy like that. Fear of failing comes from the thought that Maybe I can't. Maybe he's better. I allow those thoughts to enter my mind. I let the devil play games with me, telling me, questioning my ability to use the tools I've been given and what I have in Christ to succeed. 10 signs you might have fear of failure. This comes from Psychology Today. Failing makes you worry about what other people think of you. How am I going to look if I mess up and fail? Failing makes you worry about your own ability to pursue the future you desire. Failing makes you worry that other people will lose interest in you. Oh, you don't measure up, so I don't want to be around you. Failing makes you worry about how smart or capable you are. Now you question your own equipping. Failing makes you worry about disappointing people whose opinion you value. I want you to think about that. Because this is a powerful one for me. Because when my first marriage started to fall apart and things were not going well, I never called my parents because my marriage was failing and I was ashamed of disappointing my family. See how the devil plays games? Instead of going to them, say, hey, I know you're prayer warriors. Can you pray for my marriage? Can you pray for me? I was afraid of disappointment, of failing those who I cherish and respect. You tend to tell people beforehand that you don't expect to succeed in order to lower their expectation. So I'm going to make sure that if I fail, they don't think less of me, so I'm going to lower their expectation even before I start. Once you fail at something, you have trouble imagining that you could have done differently to succeed. You often get last-minute headaches, stomach aches, and other physical symptoms that prevent you from completing your preparation. Somatic illnesses. Psychosomatic illnesses are really the manifestation of physical things that have a psychological root to them. All of a sudden, I get a headache, but your headache comes from the stress you're under because of the way you're thinking. All of a sudden, you start imagining a backache when you really don't have anything wrong with your back. You know, or you're feeling so tired and exhausted all the time. It's all mental that's affecting your physical being in various ways. You often get distracted by tasks that prevent you from completing your preparation, which in hindsight were not as urgent as they seemed at that time. You have something in front of you you're called to do, but it's great and you're questioning your ability to do it, so you do the little things that you know you'll succeed in and begin procrastinating those things. We've all done these, or at least one of these. I know that because at least 8 of them I've done. You often get distracted. You tend to procrastinate and run out of time to complete your preparation adequately. You just didn't have time to do it. Why? Because you struggle with your own belief to achieve this, and I feel like I'm going to fail. What's the root cause of the fear of failure? Well, an attempt to accomplish something that did not go as planned. So something didn't go as planned. Did anyone ever have that happen to them, right? Yeah, nobody? Yeah. Every day we have something that doesn't go as planned. Every mother in this room has a plan for the day when she wakes up till her kid wakes up. That plan goes out the window. Every one of us has a plan for work till other people show up at the office or we open up our email. They don't go as planned. But what happens? How do we deal with that thing that does not go as planned? One of the root causes of fear of failure is, what do I start telling myself when these things don't go as planned? Or I am not able to achieve the way I think should have been done. The insecurity, low self-esteem or self-worth, all that stuff, those thoughts and words that start to play in my mind that begin to pull me down, that I allow the enemy to come in. I open up that door to the lie of the enemy, which begins to lay the layers of this fear of failure. Because it doesn't happen one time. What happens is, when you keep piling on the negative thoughts, when you keep piling on the negative belief system, rejecting your identity and who you are in Christ, like we talked about last week, and if you missed, please listen to it on the website. It's a very powerful thing. When we keep rejecting that for the lies that we are telling ourselves and allow ourselves to embrace, it begins to pile up. See, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." That's the King James, New King James. I love the NIV. "Be alert and be a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." In other words, he's going around, and when I open the door with those words and those thoughts regarding the things that did not succeed the way I planned them to succeed, he's coming right in. What do they say about when you're, if you're a door-to-door salesman? If you can get your foot in the door, you've got them. If you can just get in before they shut the door in your face, you got them. That's exactly the way the devil works. If he can get his foot in your door of your heart and mind, he's got you. It's harder to kick him out, but thank God in the Spirit of God, we can kick him out because he belongs at the end of our boots. That's what the Word of God says. He will crush the head of Satan under our feet. But we've got to do this. We've got to do this. See, we accept the lie that was spoken over us, or we speak over us because of our failed attempt. And Bill Johnson, one of the things that struck me when I first heard it and still does is, you know, we empower the liar when we believe the lie. We empower the liar when we believe the lie. And that's what the devil wants to do. See, you feel like you can never be good enough to please God, no matter how hard you try. Why? Because you've had enough failures or things didn't go as you planned, and you've allowed the devil get his foot in the door and then get his whole self in the door of your mind and heart, and you and I rejected our identity in him, instead believe that we're a failure, that I'm not good enough. We start comparing ourselves to other people and believe in those things. I'm not as good as someone else, so why try? So I'm a failure. I'm a failure. You know, some of the great modern evangelists and apostles of this generation, in doing some listening to some of their testimonies, Randy Clark's, Bill Johnson's, Todd White's, whose Power and Love Conference is coming up in September, you know, and many, many others, what's her name in Mozambique? Heidi Baker, thank you. You know, God called them to healing ministry. And you know what? In every single testimony, the same thing happened. God gave them a taste of what it's like to heal and to change someone's life and his power. And they do great for a while, for a couple few weeks. But then they enter a season. Every single one of them to the T enter a season where it's dry. No matter who they pray for, no matter who they speak over or touch, nothing happens. No healings take place. No changes take place. And the testimonies, they'd be like, "We did this for 9 months and nothing happened." Then one day there was a breakthrough. And then boom, their ministry took off. Every single one of them. The power of God began to overflow. See, if they would have accepted the lie of the enemy that, oh, they're not called to do this. I can't do this. It was just for a season, just for a time. I'm not good enough to do this. They would have never continued and reaped the blessings that are taking place now. So See, all of us go through a season of dry spell where nothing seems to go right. No matter what we try, what we do, we feel like we can't get ahead of ourselves. That's the door the enemy looks for to enter in and starts placing doubt in your head that you can't, you're not meant to do this, you're not good enough, especially good enough for God to use. It paralyzes you from taking risk and steps of faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's His word. And we never trust or develop trust in God. And what happens is we move into the realm of, instead of believing in God, we believe, or I'm sorry, instead of believing God for, we just believe in God. Yeah, I believe there's a God out there. But I don't embrace Him. I don't believe Him in me to do what He wants to do, to take that step and do the things He promised to do. See, one of our core values, as we talk about, is study to know who we are in Christ. And I love the fact youth are going to get into this summer their identity in Christ. Because when you get that root and foundation, it's going to be awfully hard for the devil to have anything stick in your head. You overcome these things. See, overcoming the fear of failure involves a very key word called risk. Risk. Stepping into something even when I don't know what the outcome is going to be. If we only did what we are able to do, what do we need God for? If I only do what I can do, what do I need God for? Because I'm just saying this is all I'm going to do. Risks, trust God with what I can't do on my own. To go beyond my own abilities or who I am, but to trust Him in the impossible. And that leads to faith that grows. It leads to confidence in Him, but in my identity in Him. See, one of the things that, you know, my wife and I stepped into this year, and this is crazy. The Lord revealed this to us. And I shared this with her this morning as we were praying at home. We were told before the summer began, she's not supposed to work. So we lose her income. We were told in the spring, and God made a way for me to reduce my work to 80% from 100%, which included losing 20% of my monthly salary. So now we're entering the summer where usually I have 100% of my salary and my wife is working. This is the least amount of financial support we have ever had. And we didn't know what the summer's going to look like. So we were stepping into the summer in faith. We had no idea. But the Lord said, take this risk. Trust me, because nothing makes human sense here. Nothing. And we have not stopped our tithing. We have stopped giving our offerings that are above and beyond our regular tithes. We were sticking and stepping into faith, risking faith. And what's happened is this has been the best summer of our marriage. We have done more than we've ever done in a summer. We've reaped blessings that we couldn't comprehend with this church and the things around us that we could have never expected. And the Lord has sustained us beyond our measure. How this is happening, I can't even explain to you. But the fact is, risk is trusting God. Me as the provider and my innate nature, when God showed us these things and told her she's not working, I'm going, oh my gosh, how are we going to put food on the table? How are we going to pay bills? How are we going to do this? Because on paper, it made no sense. And I struggled with that because I felt like, how we're going to fail. We're not going to be able to do the things God's called us to do. So we stepped into it, and man, it's been an amazing blessing to trust Him. You take risks. You overcome fear of failure by stepping on failure and the liar right on his head and step right into it in the element of faith and risk. So I want to go over quickly six things in overcoming the fear of failure. How you overcome it, in addition to your knowing your identity. Number one, recognize that you are not the failure. Failure does not define who you are. Do not equate failure with personhood. Failure does not define or take away from who you are in Christ. And failure is not your identity. So many of us embrace this and say, I fail, therefore I am no good. Therefore I could never succeed or achieve. Thomas Edison had something like 5,000 or more failed attempts at creating the light bulb before he succeeded. Any great inventor, I mean, even the guy who invented the shark vacuum on the commercials, 5,000 attempts before we fixed it, made the right one that works. Failure does not define you. You're not your failure. You only thing that defines you is who you are in Christ. That is it. Do not turn it inward. What happens, do not turn it inward on yourself and open the door to issues of rejection like we talked about last week. It does not define you. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, which includes me, by the way. So I'm one of his marvelous works. You're one of his marvelous works. And that you may, that my soul knows very well. In other words, I get it, Lord. I get who I am in you. I get who I am. My soul knows that I am one of your marvelous works, and I get it. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. If you didn't get it the first time, he says it three times. God created you. And he says it twice in his image. He's making an emphasis here. You are a marvelous work. Your failure does not define who you are in Christ. What you do never defines you. Your character in him defines you. Number two, first was recognize you're not a failure. Second is remember that everyone failed. I'm not going to read this, but you can read it in Exodus 2. Moses, he was told he was going to save a nation. What did he do? He shoved his foot in his mouth. And he blew it on his first attempt. All right, Moses, you're going to rescue my people Israel. So what does he do? He goes, sees an Israelite being beaten by an Egyptian, and he kills the Egyptian. He blew it. He blew it. He failed. He failed on his very first attempt. And instead of facing that failure, he ran away. But we have a God who's a redeemer. Remember, everyone fails. And then Moses led a nation to the promised land. He did what God told him he was going to do. When he did it God's way. Everyone fails. James 3:2 says, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. We all stumble. And then he decides to focus on the mouth. Because the very first place we stumble and fail is with our big mouths, because it reveals what's in the heart. We shove our foot in our mouth all the time. Everyone fails. You're not the first to fail. You won't be the last to make a mistake. But you know what? Our God is Redeemer. That's his name. That is actually his name, Redeemer. He redeems those who make mistakes. Third thing, failure is not final. Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected, but I press on. I'm not perfect, Paul's saying. I'm still making mistakes because I'm human, but I press on. that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward in those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, I've made mistakes. I have not been perfect. But I don't know everything. But what I do know is I'm forgetting what happened yesterday because I'm focusing on what God's doing today. Because what happened yesterday is not defining me. It's not labeling me. It's not chaining me down to what's in store tomorrow and today. It's not holding me back on what's going on tomorrow. I mean, God, we've been at this ministry for over 20 years. If I would have looked at that and said, man, we just never get over that hump. Let's shut the doors down. We wouldn't be where we are today. Growing. Shared many times, 3 times I went to the Lord saying, what do I do, Lord? You want me to quit? 20 years, the Lord said, keep going. Keep going. Don't look at yesterday. Look at tomorrow. Don't look at what happened even 3 years ago. Look at tomorrow. Keep your eye on the prize and where God's directing you. Don't look behind. Don't let the image of the past distract you from what's the vision of the future. Let me say that again. Don't let the image of the past distract you from the vision of the future. You need to write that down because that's good. And God just gave me that. Don't let the image of the past distract you from the vision of the future that God has given you. Just keep going. Keep pressing on. Thank you, Lord. Your vision of the future, or the vision of the future. Again, going back to Moses, failure is not final. We read in chapter 3, he's tending sheep 40 years later, and God says, okay, Moses, now it's time to do it right. Get back to Israel. And you can read the story of Moses there about how his first failure wasn't his final. That wasn't the end of it. God does not say, you screwed up, I'm done with you. You're over. You know how many times I've messed up praying over people? And the enemy attacked me when I was still young in the prophetic. And I allowed, because you know, God's word is perfect, but the filter of man, if we're not tuned into God, we can be a little distorted. And I was not fully mature in tuning in, and we're still maturing, even now. And not maybe what I said, I didn't say it right. Maybe what I heard was more my thoughts than it was God. And you know, and somebody, you know, confronted me about those things. And I went, okay, I guess I'm not supposed to do it. That's the enemy saying, I'm shutting this gift of yours down because I'm afraid of this gift. I'm afraid of what God's going to do with your prophetic. So I'm going to feed you these lies so that you don't step into it. How many times have we messed up as a musician or in worship? That's the enemy starts feeding the lies. You're a lousy worship leader. You messed up here. You're a lousy musician. You can't break through into the next realm. The enemy feeds you the lies to hinder your future, God's vision for your future. Can't dwell on that. Your failure is not your future. God does not call you to do something if he didn't intend for you to succeed. Let me say that again. God didn't call you for something if he didn't intend for you to succeed in it. So your failure is not your final. Galatians 6:9. let us not become weary in doing good, because it's doggone hard to do good. And good is the goodness of God. Do and be in right standing with God. For at proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We will reap the harvest if we do not give up. So don't stop. Don't let the lies of the enemy get in the way of that. Think about Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times. How do you think he must have felt? Oh, and that's after Jesus looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because he allowed something come out of his mouth that wasn't of God. How do you think he would have felt? But he had a Redeemer who built him back up. His failure was not his future. What about all the disciples that ran away when Jesus was captured? All the, "Yeah, we'll fight with you to the end. We will stand tall, Jesus. Let's pull out our swords." And they scatter like cockroaches when the light turns on, when the soldiers show up. Yet, he redeemed them and made them the men they were already envisioned to be. Jesus knew who they were supposed to be before they even became it, and their failure did not define their future. Number 4, recognize the benefits of failing. And I'll be quick with this one. Learn from your experience. It's simple as that. I made a mistake. I'm not going to beat myself up at that mistake. I'm going to learn the lesson of that mistake and move forward in the things God's called me to. See, every great invention, everything you do, you learn from your mistakes. Considered to be one of the greatest football coaches of all time in our modern history, Bill Belichick, who coaches the New England Patriots, he failed as coach of the Cleveland Browns when he first became a coach. Many years later, he became great. And yes, we don't like him because we're Jets fans, but you can't deny his greatness. You can't deny his greatness as a coach. But he failed as a coach, coaching the Cleveland Browns. Michael Jordan didn't even make the basketball team in high school when he first tried out. The greatest basketball player of all time. But he didn't give up. He kept pressing into it. And he learned from his mistakes. And he grew out of it. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a righteous man may fail 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." Why? Because they say, "I'm a failure." They equate failing to themselves. And they deny the work of God in their lives. They turn away from what God wants to do to what their self-belief is. Number 5, God does not set us up to fail. Can we agree on that? God will never set us up to fail. God only sets us up to succeed. He'll never call us to do something that we are not able to do. But I can do all things through what? Yeah, not I can do all things, period. He calls me to do something, and then he gives me everything I need to do it. He does not call us to something without equipping me with what I need to succeed in it. He'll always put me in a position to grow and succeed and to learn from those things. See, it's funny, as I was doing this, one of the lessons I learned for a very brief month, at one point in my life, I worked for a guy who owned a plastic company in Old Bridge who would make containers that are supposed to be liquid proof. And one of the things that I could never do is make them right. I can never make the mold right where it would just hold the liquid. And I kept messing up. And see, one of my areas of failure and insecurity was I never knew how to express my negative emotions. I bottled it up. And God reminded me that that was the first time, because this guy, who's not a Christian, was riding me really bad, even cursing at me. And I finally, for the first time in my life, I actually went off on somebody in a negative way. really went off on them. I yelled at them. My voice was loud, and I didn't curse, but I was just angry and let my anger out verbally for one of the very, very few times, but first time in such a manner. And you know what? I look back at that experience, and that time with that guy working for him was not good. It was a failed attempt. But the success in it, what I learned in it, was how to stand up for myself to a degree. It began to lay a foundation. Now, years later, the Lord began to strengthen that foundation. But I still remember blurting out then and standing up for myself for the first time, maybe in my whole life, in such a way. So God did not set me up to fail there. There was a lesson I needed to learn in that, and he began to lay a foundation with that. See, we have to define success. If in our failed attempts, God can get us where he wants us to be, is it really a failure? Think about that, because God doesn't set us up to fail. So even in the mistakes we make in life, if through that mistake, I still end up at that position that God wants me to be at, where he can pour himself into me, is it really a failure? If in my brokenness, he brings me back to that place where I need to be humbled, where he can then use me. See, love the story in Philemon, Onesimus the servant. I'll be real quick with this. He wasn't a Christian. He was working for Philemon, who owned a big property where the church was meeting in his house. He ran away from his servant, from his master, thinking he's got it together. He ends up in jail. He says, well, that's a failure. I failed. I go from one prison to another, from being a slave to a prisoner. Well, was it really a failure? Because guess who he meets up in that same prison cell? Paul. He becomes a Christian through Paul. What does he do? After he's released, Paul writes a letter to this guy, to Philemon. He gives it to Onesimus. Onesimus goes back to his master. And in that letter, Paul says, because Onesimus means useless. The name Onesimus means useless. In that letter, Paul says, hey, this guy, he left you a slave, but I'm sending him back to you as a brother, as a fellow worker for the kingdom. So the person that was once useless now is useful for the kingdom. Going back to his master, not just a servant, but part of the church, a brother in faith. Was that a failure? No. God allowed that to happen to get him in that position where God was going to use him. God sometimes allows us to fail when we choose to be out of his will so we get back in his will. In the perfect world, God wants us to stay in his will and grow in those lessons we need to learn. But he never sets us up to fail. He will always equip us with what we need to succeed. Psalm 37, 20 through 26 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And I've been young, now I'm old, yet I have seen the righteous. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. God will never put you in a position to fail. Only succeed by his strength. And lastly, to overcome fear of failure, replace your fear with faith. Simple. You already quoted this verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Exodus chapter 3, what happens? Moses is given the staff by God. And he goes to Pharaoh, and all that insecurity and the fear of failure from the prior attempts 40 years earlier, he now goes with confidence and faith, drops that staff, turns into a snake. You know the story of the plagues and the things that Moses did. If you don't, please, I'd encourage you to read up on it. Before, Moses moved in faith, and the captives were set free because of that. It's in chapter 3 and 4. And then we read in Romans 4:21 about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Remember, Abraham was a pagan. Abraham was an idol maker, a false god maker. And God spoke to him, and he left everything in faith. In faith to a God he had never known before, but God encountered him, and he encountered God, and he got up, and he left. And he is the father of Israel. He did not waver at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. In other words, his faith stayed strong, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being what? Fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, he, God, was able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Replace that fear with faith. We are going to step into unknown things every day of our lives, every moment of our lives sometimes, taking risks, and we are trusting God. Any missionary is taking a risk and stepping into faith. Those of you here today are being called and have been called to step into risk. Last week, you know our vision, equipping the body for the work of the kingdom. The Lord spoke to us, spoke to me. When I was going around with that microphone and you guys were praising, I had a vision of Michael stepping into faith and going around and being the one. That was going to be his ministry, little Michael. And I spoke to him about it. And in faith, he said, okay. And he did it today. And he said to me afterwards, I like that. That was fun. That's equipping the body to do the work of the kingdom. Having the youth do the same thing. You should have seen their looks if you didn't when I said, you guys are praying over people. Who, me? But you step into faith. You trust God. You get over that fear because he who is in you is greater. Not just than he who's in the world, but he who's in the world is trying to put things in your head. He's greater than him. You overcome that fear of failure by stepping into the faith and the risk that comes with it, because when you're in God's hands, it's not risky. We just call it risk, but it's not risky. Would you stand with me, please? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want you right now to just take a moment and just receive. But this is what I want you to do. Specifically, I know we've all got areas that we struggle with fear of failure in. I won't try because I know I'm going to fail, is what we tell ourselves.